Hello everyone and welcome to the Movielicious. This is episode number 20 for February 2010. Hello everyone and welcome to the Movielicious, the show where we talk about the movies we've seen in the past 2 weeks and sometimes the ones we haven't seen, because I damn well will talk about Book of Eli and Youth in Revolt.
I like I these. Will. Eli.
What? How should I say it?
No, I just...
Oh,
the
Eli.
The accent.
Yeah. All right, so today
should seriously get a room. That's terrible.
How you said, welcome to the Movielicious.
Yeah, Terpster, you know I'm only trying to make you jealous.
Exactly. Well, I've been reading your question and answer thing, and yeah. I noticed there's been a few questions about me, and you've always been kind. And I've been thinking, like, well, what is it? Does he like me? Doesn't he like me? I don't know what to believe.
So, for people who don't know, first of all, hi T and hi N, because, you know, Nicole. And hello to the chat room. Hi everyone, I hope you are doing well. And in case you don't know what Terpster was talking about, it's this formspring.me where it's a very easy, you know, way to ask questions to people. You just create a profile and you get people to ask you questions anonymously, and I've done it for the past...
Half are in French.
Yeah, half are in French. Well, you know, French people want to ask me a question.
That's true. What's
the address again?
Formspring.com/notpatrick.
Formspring.me.
Me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it
slash
.me?
Not
yeah.
Patrick. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's what it is. And there you have like lots of questions, and you can ask more if you want to.
I think we should just ask you all about Terpster.
I think if anyone's listening, if that could be the theme of every single question from here on out.
So, for example, one of the questions asked, and it relates to the Movielicious because it's about movies, and it's anonymous, so, you know. The question is, potential actors / actresses for the villain in Batman 3? And my answer was, who's the villain in Batman 3? I'd suggest Terpster, but he's far too good-looking to play an ugly villain.
See? I like
that's
that.
Because...
And it's true, because I am far too good-looking to play an ugly villain.
But you could play a good-looking villain.
I could be, exactly.
And then later in the movie get deformed. Yeah.
No, don't do that. There's already done that with Two-Face. That's fine.
Oh. Yeah.
I would
Wait. Fang. Hey, Fang. He's always here. Thanks for always being here, Fang14. Oh, John Copperdome is here, too. You know, negative cutters. Anyway, Fang is saying Terpster could play Robin. And I think he's got something there.
I think that could be the Boy Wonder himself. Hey, Christian.
Hey.
Phil, let's just do this.
I'd like to give the role of Batman to Nicole, but I'd have to do it. I mean, I'm Batman.
That's okay.
I can do it.
It's all right. You don't have to give it to me.
And you can be, although, can you do Batman? Can you try?
Who, me?
Yeah. Just try.
I'm Batman.
It's you who's been phoning me up all these weeks now. I've been wondering who that was. What are you wearing? I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Alright, so I guess...
If like Frank's saying there, Batgirl. If Batgirl was in Batman and sounded just like Batman, that'd be brilliant.
But that would be pretty
was
good.
A girl, that'd be amazing.
Pretty good.
You'd like double scary, because you'd be like, I'm scared because I'm a criminal and they're a crime fighter, and also, she sounds like a man. You know, it's like that double whammy.
Alright, should we get into the show?
Yeah, let's do this.
Yes, let's do it. So, you've heard that we're going to be talking about Book of Eli and the Youth in Revolt, or just Youth in Revolt, and we're also going to be talking about Lovely Bones, which is the only one I've seen, because the other ones are not out in France anymore, or not out yet.
I just, before we start, realize we were on episode 20. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yay!
Next time, we can drink. I mean,
we've been drinking for a long time over here in England.
Yeah, we can drink at 18 also in France, so. Okay,
it's far more liberal over here than in America. We're just more liberal, aren't we?
Yeah, I guess that's because we're...
What's the 20th anniversary gift? Gold or something like that? Silver?
Oh, for me, it's... Yeah.
For marriage?
Yeah.
Oh, so we're like a ménage à trois, is what you're saying.
Oh, God. What is going on?
What is the French for ménage à trois?
It is... actually, ménage has several meanings. It means household, and it also means cleaning up your house. So, there you go.
Brilliant. That could be a disappointment, isn't it? If someone invites you round for a ménage à trois, you're thinking, oh, hello, what shall I wear? Rubber gloves? Ooh, is it one of those? Okay. And you get round and they just hand you a mop and you say, I don't know what you've heard about me, but I'm not that kinky.
Oh, all right. We're not having too much already.
Storm Tamer is saying 20 is China wedding anniversary. China? Really? Is that like, that's the worst thing ever? You
get a plate.
Get that when you get married.
Yeah, exactly. You get a plate. Thanks. That's like, we're really going to be having lots of use for this. All right. Which movie do you want to start with?
I think Book of Eli.
Yeah, we should end on the one that we... All
have
three
all seen?
Yeah.
Which one didn't you see?
We haven't all seen something, though, have we? Because I've seen Youth in Revolt and The Book of Eli, the two Patrick hasn't seen.
So I'm the only one that's seen
them. You're
all
the one that's seen them all. Like I was saying before, Patrick, Nicole's like that kind of, that annoying student in the class, the teacher's pet, who's just seen them. Oh, I've done all my homework! And that's what it feels like right now. It feels like you're showing us both up by managing to see them all. And do all your traveling and stuff. Anyway.
All right. Let's start with Book of Eli. And I will tell you a couple of things. First of all, it was directed by the brothers Hughes, which, honestly, I don't even know what they did before.
They did something... they did that terrible one.
I bet you IMDb will tell you.
Yeah, let's have a look. Because it was a terrible...
From Hell. Yes, you're right. From Hell. And they did also Touching Evil, which was a TV show, which was fantastic. They produced it, or at least one of them did. And it was written, Book of Eli, was written by Gary Witta, who is or was a fellow podcaster. He's also...
Should we be nice?
Be nice about... No, we can be...
That's
you
fine.
Don't have to pervert your opinion. just know that Gary Witta is an influential personality in the world of podcasting and video games. So, no pressure.
That's fine. That's good.
Okay,
that's good.
Cool.
Because I love the movie, honest, Gary. Just fast forward through this next bit, because all you're going to hear is me say it's brilliant. Mm.
Didn't you ever listen to Game Theory back in the day? It was a very good podcast, more inside, industry focused and excellent podcast. And by the way, he is also writing Akira, the movie adapted from the from the anime, the Japanese anime, supposed to come out in 2011. I don't know. He's a writer, and he's a writer on the project. So
that's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah. There you go. What did you guys... should we tell the story of the Book of Eli?
Yeah.
Maybe you guys want to do that. And it starts, of course, Denzel Washington. Gary Oldman, Myla Kunis, blah, blah, blah. All these fantastic people.
Michael Gambon. Just Who? Putting out a Brit there. Dumbledore.
Okay, cool. Oh, excellent. So, what's the story of this one movie?
Shall I go, or do you want to do
you
it,
can
Nicole?
Go.
Okay, I'll do it. Tell me when I get it wrong. Basically, there's this guy, Denzel Washington, who I really want to spoil the twist. And he's basically... he is in possession of a book. And Gary Oldman...
It's the last Bible. That's not giving anything away.
Okay, right. Anyway,
sorry.
So yeah. It's the last Bible. And this is 30 years after an apocalyptic event.
Right, that might be important too.
Yeah, we've managed to kill everyone or most things. And then blamed on the Bible. And so they burnt all the Bibles.
Did they say what happened?
Well, they said the sky opened up and the sun burnt everyone. So I think it was a nuclear thing.
Did not just say that.
What's that?
You did not just say nuclear.
What? How is it, Si?
Jesus. Nuclear.
Yeah?
It's not that complicated, people. Oh, nuclear, okay. Not nuclear. We're not
okay,
in
he needs to sleep.
Anyway.
Jeez.
So
come on. You're not telling me that this is not an important topic. I hate to go all, you know, grammar girl on you people, but chat room, please tell me that I'm not wrong here.
Nuclear.
Okay.
Nuclear.
Fine, keep going.
And there's this event that happens. Everyone kind of, they burn all the Bibles, and kind of society regresses. It's, you know, your kind of typical post-apocalyptic sort of setting. And Denzel Washington is compelled to go on this mission to kind of protect the book. And Gary Oldman thinks that if he gets the book, the last Bible, then he'll have the power. He claims it's a weapon, and it can control weak-minded people, and he sees it as, you know, giving him even more power than he already has in this post-apocalyptic world.
So is it a Mad Max-like post-apocalyptic world?
Yeah, like Postman. Remember Postman with Kevin Costner?
It's basically Fallout 3, if you've played that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
The premise, I mean, they set it up to where it's like, oh, this might be a good movie. I don't know about you, Terpster, but I did not want to see this movie.
I think I was looking forward to it because I like Denzel Washington, and from the trailer and stuff, it seemed kind of cool.
Okay.
I
get a feeling that you didn't really like the movie.
No, it's got a Shyamalan twist at the end that just doesn't work. And I mean, I haven't gone back and watched it again to see if I've missed any kind of brilliant bits that really make that twist make sense or be as not as bad, but it's an atrocious kind of thing in my opinion, in that I really want to point holes as well, because I know that the type of book that it turns out to be would have to be a lot larger.
That's what I was thinking too.
And so then I'm starting thinking, well, how? Hang on, because he'd be
is
like,
it like is it not the real book, but is it like an iPad?
He has an iPod, but it's like only third generation. I thought this is meant to be in the future. That's rubbish. But anyway, it's got a twist that really, for me at least, didn't work at all. I mean, there's some great acting in it. Denzel Washington does really kind of cool things in there when he's kind of. When it's him on screen, you can't help but just watch him. I know that sounds like, oh, it's a film, but he really does kind of command that space. And same with Gary Oldman as well. It's nice, you know, he was doing a bad guy. We've seen him do some good guys recently, so it's nice to see him go back to the bad. Again, it had a lot of depth in a lot of the characters, I think, but it just really lost it at the end. Like
I was really expecting Jennifer Beals to like do the flash dance and no.
That would have been good actually.
You know, Jennifer Beals is in the movie and she's
I don't know who that is.
Got a feeling,
okay. No, yeah. Okay, that's okay. I get it now. Yeah. That's fine.
You know,
stop.
Flash dance with the sweater and everything. But
she didn't do any welding either, which annoyed me because I thought she's got a skill there and they should put her to work, because you want to rebuild society, you get your best welder on it. But obviously none of them have seen Flashdance, so that's the problem.
She plays the mother of the young girl.
Mila Kunis.
Mila.
Ooh.
So that's her mother. And everybody else, this is what's funny, everybody looks terrible. Blisters and gross.
She looks fantastic.
And both of them just are beautiful. It's
they
like,
do.
What?
It's like they've got a post-apocalyptic hair salon, which only they know where it is. And it's, you know, you can just imagine like some deformed, mutated monster in there saying, so you're going anywhere nice on your holidays? As he's just cutting their hair. It's like, no, not really. If you haven't noticed, everywhere's gone. It's a bit rubbish now, isn't it? I don't know. You know, he's just cutting hair.
Okay. So, apart from the monster hair cutter people, dressers, is the movie any good
it's
at all?
It's got some cool fights in it, but then...
Is it... Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to ask you another question. Is it an action movie or not?
No, it's quite a heavy...
The first
kind of
30 minutes are boring as crap.
There's no dialogue.
There's nothing... There's absolutely, and there's this scene that within the first 5 minutes, you're like, what the heck is he doing? Mm-hmm. And he shoots a cat. It's like, what?
He eats a cat, though, as well. That's good.
No, he doesn't. I don't. Do you think he ate it because he like, that's juiced what he it? Or it's
hey,
oil.
Hey, no spoilers. We don't want to know if he ate the cat.
Well, I think so. He gave some to the rat, at least, didn't he? Or the mouse. He said it's good. No, I'm pretty sure he ate the cat. Yeah, it's what you do. You eat cats. You know, nuclear winter. You know, it's a bit sparse on food. I'm going to eat a cat. You know, it's brilliant. But no, I don't know. The thing is, it got quite heavy-handed in terms of, because it's all about a book, and the book happens to be the Bible, you start bringing in all this extra kind of extra bit of kind of emphasis, and it gets a little bit awkward in places, in that you start wondering it's... I just question its kind of worth and its validity, really. If you're in the future and you've had people who, you know, they're not very well educated, but at the same time, the part of the kind of the big thing about the Bible is it's tradition. It's kind of been passed down. It's something that has emphasis, you know, around the culture. I don't know how well it would take off with just Gary Oldman going around with the Bible himself. I don't know, but anyway, it got a little bit kind of heavy-handed with the. It got, you know, biblical. Denzel Washington feels he's on a mission from God, and the reason Denzel's been so successful to date in terms of he's not dead is because God's protecting him. And there's like weird bits.
If he's got the last Bible in his hand,
but there's like bits where he's like getting shot at and it's okay.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
And I don't know. I mean, that's maybe I just really didn't get it, but then I feel like that's not my fault. They should have made me got it with the film.
Okay, now I'm confused because I'm not sure what you said.
Well, I didn't really kind of understand how certain things were, you know, kind of believable within that setting. And they didn't really kind of paint that picture.
Like, they broke the rules in some settings and then followed the rules in other parts.
So it wasn't coherent.
No.
It was kind of...
And it's really... I hate jumping around the twist bit, but the thing is, if I tell you the twist bit, you can probably Google it anyway, but
if I tell you, it
ruins it for everyone.
It's
poorly delivered anyway, the twist, and it's not very believable. They hint at it throughout the dialogue, which is something you're kind of meant to do. You're meant to seed it, kind of like The Sixth Sense, you know.
But now everyone's going to be listening to everything and over-analyzing and thinking that, you know, they got it.
If you watch this movie, don't expect a lot at all. And you might walk away enjoying it a bit, because that's exactly what happened to me.
So you actually enjoyed it a bit, did you?
I didn't. Well, see, here's the problem. I really didn't want to see the movie. I really had that whole kind of heavy-handed thing. I was thinking it was going to be much, much more than what it was. And it wasn't as bad, because at the very end, the purpose was not necessarily focused on one religion. It was focused on all religions. So that was really kind of trying to say...
Okay, is the twist that Denzel Washington is Black Jesus?
No.
To be honest with you, it's not far off, though, really, in terms of, like... I don't know. He's definitely an accomplished guy, and he should be kind of, you know, remembered in that setting, in that world. But it's, I don't know. The thing is, I was expecting it to be better than it was. When you look at the cast, you start thinking, like, this has got some promise.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
but it wasn't.
I don't know,
it was just
yeah, I wouldn't recommend it, in all fairness. I'd say, you know, it might be something that if it was kind of on TV, you'd, you know, stop and watch it. I don't think I'd rent it. I wouldn't probably... I mean, I'm not going to...
Oh, wow, that bad.
Well, really. I'd say in terms of there's much better films of this sort of style than this. So I would say that you're probably better off going to see, you know, possibly some of the other films we're talking about today instead. I don't think, you know, I personally wouldn't want to see it again.
There was a funny bit in it, though, when they found this old couple and they had survived... And the woman, and they have this radio player that they crank up.
Oh, yeah.
And
what
it's
song
the,
was it? It got on my
Ring
head
My Bell.
Yeah, Ring My Bell.
No, it's okay. You don't have to.
It was in my head. It's going to be in my head again now, but cheers for that. But yeah,
you know, it kind of lightened the mood, and then it got, you know, heavy again. So.
Yeah. And it had the guy from Rome. Did you watch Rome?
Yes.
The HBO
course,
series?
I loved it.
Yeah. It had his friend, the tall guy who was bold and
strong. So maybe you can answer this question, Terpster. Mm-hmm. When he gets... So, here's a spoiler. He gets killed.
Wait, what? Wait.
Oh, easy. You didn't have to... Yeah, okay.
So, when he gets killed, he, like, does what, this dramatic...
Thing, like, when he gets out and dies and what? Stuff.
I was
wondering as well. I don't know, because he looks to the sky, and again, I don't know if it was something where he seemed... I don't know, he seemed like a favourite of Gary Oldman's character, so I don't know whether he had a bit more education around him, and maybe
like, maybe there was stuff that was cut out that maybe made that more significant, but it was like, okay, he's dead, who cares? Move on.
Okay.
You know? So, but the way that they had set that up, it was... I thought maybe I had missed something. It was weird.
We might have both missed it, but in fairness, again, I'm going to just roll in with a lame, because I'm sorry, but no.
Okay.
And I was thinking about giving it a meh just because it was better than I had expected, but it still was lame.
Okay.
I mean, it, just because it was better than crap doesn't mean it's
better than crap. Okay, there is another possible title here. Let's not waste too much time on that movie then. Let's move on to the other one, or another one. Should we do Lovely Bones or U-Turn
Revolt? Yeah, do Lovely Bones. Because I haven't seen it, and I just want to hear about it. Because I think I want to see it, but I might not want to after now.
Okay. Okay, so Lovely Bones is a movie by Peter Jackson that most of you might know from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and also from being the person who lost the most weight between two movies ever.
He was literally twice the director in Lord of the Rings than he was in King Kong. And I mean that in so many ways.
Yeah, exactly. It's freaky how... Okay, never mind. So he directed this movie, and maybe it's surprising for people that he would go with a psychological thriller kind of movie. That's the way it's being sold a little bit, even though that's not maybe exactly what it is. Semi-realistic thriller thing, when the other films he did, the Lord of the Rings series and of course King Kong, were so action heavy. Mm-hmm. And people have to remember that he also did a movie called Heavenly Creatures, which was nothing like his other ones. I'm sorry?
Is that his kind of horror film? He did a horror gory chainsaw film as well.
No,
Heavenly Creatures was Kate Winslet.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Lesbian movie.
Hello. I'll have to check.
And, the gory thing was Bad Taste, which is almost not a full movie. It's like it was a very cult movie back in the 80s because it was the revolutionary gore house, you know, homemade kind of movie that everyone wanted to see because it was so gore and so outrageous and so inventive at the same time back then. But it was super low budget. Like, they literally went between all their friends over like half a year, every weekend did a new scene, and that's the movie that, you know, happened when they did that. But anyway, so The Lovely Bones is based off a very successful book, and it features Mark Wahlberg and a few other actors, Rachel Weisz and Susan Sarandon, and what's the name of the young girl? She has an impossible name to pronounce.
Susan Sarandon's her character.
Ronan or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the story is about this girl who gets murdered when she is 14, and she doesn't go on to disappear. She is sort of in a weird afterlife, and her killer is still around, and it's sort of the story of what happens after, you know, a little bit before and mostly after she dies, a sort of parallel between the real world and her weird fantasy afterlife world.
Have either of you read the book?
No.
I read the book when it first came out.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you just wait for the movie?
because that would have been. It came out in 2002.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, nah, fair enough.
So everyone's been telling me that the book is fantastic.
Surprisingly so, because when I first read the book, you know what happens. She dies in the first, like, two chapters, I think it is. I mean, it happens immediately.
Short book.
And you're like, how can the book then... I mean, it was an interesting approach to a book that the main character, you know, dies.
Happening, yeah. Casper the Friendly Ghost. So, in fairness, it's been done before.
So, I wasn't really sure what to expect from the book. I had heard good things about it. So, I went ahead and I read it. And it is a wonderfully written book. Because it's about kind of her family, and those are the messages of the book and of the movie, is the love of a father and a family for, you know, their daughter, and kind of her journey of coming to terms with what has happened to her. And it's almost like she's discovering, you're following her and discovering with her as she's going through this story, and you're because, like, right there with her.
The thing that I guess we should state right away is this movie is not a thriller.
No.
You sort of think that it might be, but there are a few thriller elements to it.
But
it's really a movie about coping, the family coping with what happened to them, and her also coping with
it's
what happened to her.
I mean, it's a
drama. Really, yeah. It's a movie about loss and... And, you know, coping and accepting and love and all of that. It's not a thriller or an action movie, of course. But,
and it's
you know,
not an adult film either, just to clarify that.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
right.
One of the things that I don't know if you guys know, when the book first came out, because she's such a young age, one of the controversial things around the book was she was raped in the book.
Oh, wow.
And they did not show that in the movie. And there I read an interview with Peter Jackson, and he said, we did that on purpose because that's, you know, it was fine, you know, it was okay in the book, but it just would not translate. The movie would be then the young girl rape movie, kind of like what happened to Dakota Fanning in Hound Dog. I don't know if you saw that. And everybody refers to that movie as the Dakota Fanning rape movie. So, it didn't need to be there. I mean, it's kind of obvious that this, you know, Stanley Tucci's character was totally demented. So it didn't need to be played out in the movie. So I thought that was interesting, Peter Jackson's approach to kind of respecting the young actress that actually played that. So,
well, I have to say, so I want to ask you what you thought of the movie overall, you know, before I say anything, because... You know, as someone who knows the book, but I have to say, this scene of her, you know, getting murdered and the lead up to that, because you don't really see anything, but it is super painful.
It is.
It's atrocious. It's horrible. It is really heavy, and it does weigh on you as you're watching it, and you don't want it to go on.
Right.
It's very, very well done as, you know, filmmaking goes, but it's almost like, I don't want to inflict this to myself, because it's actually painful, you know? You know what's going to happen, and Stanley Tucci's character, Stanley Tucci, who plays, you know, the killer, is... amazing, incredible.
Yeah.
He deserves an Oscar for that role.
You hated him so much through that entire movie. And that's actually, Peter Jackson did an unbelievably wonderful job capturing exactly how I felt about him in the book. I mean, it was like, it translated totally.
So I'll go back to that, but tell us what you thought, you know, of the movie as someone who knew and loved the book.
I really thought it was, I mean, it's a hard topic. So it's like, I can't be like, oh my God, it was the best movie ever. But it was done very, very well. I was really happy to see Mark Wahlberg kind of toned down. You know, he wasn't kind of all, I mean, he was there, he was the dad, but it was just enough of him. And it was still about the young girl and kind of her journey, and again going through her finding, I think towards the end when you're kind of finding out the history of this killer, I mean, that those are some really powerful scenes. I thought it wasn't
that, you know, it was expected because he's so horrible anyway. It didn't make me hate him more. I just hated him.
It's funny because I had actually forgotten how those scenes played out from the book. So there were things that I had forgotten about in the book, and then watching the movie, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot that happened in the book. Okay. So I just really thought it was very well done. I guess I enjoyed the movie.
So it wasn't a letdown.
No, not at all.
Compared
not
to
for
the
me.
Movie, to the book.
Not for
okay.
me.
So going, keeping in the theme of what I was saying earlier, Stanley Tucci's character is absolutely amazing. He's
vile.
He's not overdoing anything. You know, he's even kind of the nice guy. He's exactly what the character should be, which is the kind neighbor that you don't really think of too much, but there's something a little off about him. Mm-hmm. And when you look at him for a little longer, you realize that he is twisted. But there's nothing really completely that screams twisted. And it's not like he's, you know, violent or drooling or he's got a, you know, crazy eye or nothing. He's just a little bit off. But that scene also when
so
he's...
I was just about to like put in a disclaimer that if you do have a crazy eye or you drool, don't feel offended by that because people probably already think it about you anyway.
But Fang in the chat room is asking, is it Heath Ledger level of crazy? And he's not crazy.
No.
I mean, he's not, well, obviously he's, you know, deranged, but he is not the crazy kind of character. He makes you incredibly uncomfortable mm-hmm. without doing anything special. So that alone is, you know, excellent. And again, that scene and everything that leads up to it, I think it might be the first time that something made me as uncomfortable in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Another scene that I think had the same effect, I don't know if you remember that scene in Saving Private Ryan. There's a scene where, I can't remember the who it was, but they fight in a room.
There's a German with the stabbing, the knife.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That is horrible.
And
yeah, yeah.
So they're fighting, and there's a German and a Jew, an American Jew, and they're fighting. One of them takes the bayonet, and after a little bit of fighting, the German has the advantage, and it's sort of over the Jewish guy and leans on the knife. And the other one grabs his hands and tried to prevent the knife from advancing into his chest. And the German guy is obviously stronger, and he pushes the knife into his chest slowly and saying, you know, trying to... He's saying, shoot, don't, you know, it's okay, it's finished now, you're dead, that's it. And it goes slowly into his heart.
Mm.
And that scene made me very, you know, it was a
Have
very
violent
scene.
Have you seen, it's a French film, Irreversible?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's obviously the subway scene, and that is that's the most uncomfortable I've ever been watching a film.
Possibly, but for Irreversible, it felt pointless. In this one, it made me... I understood what the point was in the movie. It made me uncomfortable, but I don't know. So anyway, I'm not going to spend the whole, you know...
I'm curious to know what you think overall of the movie.
So, another thing before I go there. In the end, I'm not going to tell you the end, but it doesn't exactly go where you think it's going to go. And they still give you something. I'm being cryptic here, but I don't want to spoil it. But they still give you something that I thought they were not going to go for.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of a little bit disappointing because basically, it's whether or not the bad guy gets away with it. And the way they conclude that made me a little bit sort of disappointed, but at the same time, the alternative would have been almost unbearable. It's like, this cannot happen. Okay, I'm not going to spoil it, so I'm not going to say anymore, but the ending was sort of a little bit disappointing in one sense, and satisfying in the other.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to...
It needed to have some kind of satisfy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a heavy, dark movie. It needed to have some lighter moments at end.
It did.
Because
brilliant.
So as a whole, the movie, as I was watching it, I was thinking, especially these first scenes, as I said, this is too heavy. Why would anyone inflict this on themselves? After that, it sort of became a little bit boring. Her world doesn't really have anything to do with what happens in the real world. There are a few connections, but you're like, but so what's the point? Why? And when you understand that it's a movie about coping, you still think it's boring, but at least you understand it. And now that I'm talking about it, I was going to go with a lame, because but now that I'm talking about it and remembering and understanding how much it weighed on me and how much mm-hmm. influence it had, I have to go with a woot.
I give it a woot too.
Yeah.
Really?
Because it's sort of strange because I didn't enjoy watching the movie.
Right.
Yeah, woot.
You know?
Go see.
Yeah. It's very strange, isn't it? I wouldn't even... Usually my measuring stick for whether or not I would give a movie a woot is, do I recommend it to someone? And in this case, I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, you
but
wouldn't?
But still, no.
I would.
Too heavy.
I don't know. Am I going to see this or not, guys?
You should.
I think
you should, Terpster. Okay. I mean, granted, it's a heavy topic, but I mean, I got a misty-eyed a few times, definitely. But I thought it was a really well-done movie. I really loved the visuals of her world, like when her father loves to build... what are they called? The boats and the bottles, or is that what they're called?
Yeah,
boats
and the bottles. Yeah,
but actually,
I love those scenes. I loved how her world. You know, we got to see what her perfect world was. You know.
You know, that was actually sort of a disappointment because something we didn't touch on is her world is completely. You know, it's basically CG Fiesta. It's all, you know, trees with leaves that turn into birds and little planets that are, 500 meters in circumference, and sand with the sky that turns into night in 2 seconds, and it's all CG. Huh. And that was a little bit disappointing because I was expecting something more oneric and dreamy. It was just... generic CG, I thought.
From Peter Jackson, the man who brought us Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's not where I found the value in the movie. Her world is not that impressive. It didn't, do that much for me.
Mm-hmm. I liked it.
But, Terpser, let me tell you this. if you go see that movie, definitely have a girlfriend handy so you can snuggle afterwards.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Or... at least a sort of teddy bear.
Yeah. So am I snuggling
to hug
in a loving way or in a crying, pitiful wreck way?
You are snuggling in a please show me that life has meaning and value.
And then I look up and she's the evil guy from the film.
Well, like the whole first kiss, like she got killed before her first kiss, and it was just it's sad, it was a good movie. It's so weird when you're, I mean, that we sound so serious, but it oh sorry
that's okay,
that's right, that's Air France.
So this is super weird for me because I came to this show thinking this is a lame, and as I'm talking about it, I'm like, no, this it's not a lame, it's actually a woot. So it is a super weird thing for me here right
if
now.
If, however, you're not restricted by Patrick's rules, normally that would be a meh. So,
No. It's not a meh.
So
you either
still,
love it or hate
you're
it.
You sure? Okay. Well, I will see it when it's out over here in the UK, and then I will give you a little feedback, possibly on Twitter, just to let you know what I thought of it.
I would like that.
That'd be good.
All right. Nicole, do you want to say anything more about this movie?
No. I think we've depressed the audience enough.
I say, yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to another movie I haven't seen. That movie is called Youth in Revolt, and I have to say I have not heard anything about it. It's directed by Miguel Arteta. Spanish speakers are going to murder me. Who apparently directed nothing major except for episodes from TV shows. He did a little Freaks and Geeks here, 6 Feet Under there, The Office, Ugly Betty, stuff like that. So I'm guessing this is his first feature film.
Mm-hmm.
It features Michael Cera and Portia Doubleday. I don't know who that is, and some other people. And
Justin Long.
Zach Galifianakis.
Ah, Jerry. So, he's amazing.
So there you go.
And Steve Buscemi as well.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And
Ray
Dalio.
So can you guys tell me what that movie is about? I haven't even seen a trailer for this.
I will
this.
Let Nicole take this one.
I'm going to do a toaster. This movie is crap.
But no, describe what it's about.
In
not
a nutshell, basically, Michael Cera's you, and he has this alternate personality that comes through, which is me. And all the ladies dig the alternate personality. But I'll let
what?
Nicole...
Wait, what?
Well, it's exactly what Terpster says. So Michael Cera, it's his typical character. The character that we all know. He's kind of,
okay.
You know...
It's him. That's the thing. If
a wet blanket,
else it,
and he's just... You know,
but
it
usually
pushover,
works.
And he's the night... Sorry, it's really bad right now.
Can you please tell the U.S. Army to stop sending planes over your house?
They want to practice.
It's annoying.
They go over there and practice, not over here.
Or at least give them... You know what, Nicole? Please, you know, go to the base and give them our schedule.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, we might get a few extra downloads out of it. As long as they rate us 5 stars on iTunes, that's all good.
So basically, Michael Cera's character, his parents are divorced, and his mom is dating Zach Galifianakis, his character, and basically they go to his like little trailer park in the woods,
the cabin, but it's
cabin.
Not it's a trailer. Okay.
and that this is where Michael Cera's character meets this girl, and the girl is really the catalyst for him to do. All of these, you know, things for him to be with her. It's just.
So it's a comedy.
Yeah,
it's what?
Is it a comedy?
It is a comedy. It is.
Didn't think it was that funny.
Yeah, he goes away because Zach Galifianakis' character Jerry makes a bad deal, so they escape to this kind of this remote area, and he meets the girl of his dreams there. Who kind of falls for him, and they have a little holiday romance. But then Zach
she
goes
likes
back
French.
And takes him with him. She does
Patrick
like French.
Patrick would like that. She is infatuated with the French.
Her dream is to live
well,
in Paris.
Well, I don't see what's so special about that.
Exactly,
aren't
I know,
every girl.
I know. Anyway, so then he who lives with his mum has to find a way of leaving his mum and living where his dream girl lives. And so what they do is they get a job for his dad in that place, and then he has to become so bad that his mum wants to get rid of him because she wants to hold on to him for the child support money. And so he goes on a little revolt, if you will. And to do this, he develops this alternate persona called Francois Dillinger.
He has multiple personalities.
Yeah,
of course. And, that's an obvious answer to anything.
Yeah, and so basically, this guy's just completely outrageous. Just completely, you know, says things as you would never say them, and especially not a Michael Cera character. So that side of it is completely different from what you'd normally see from him. And there are some funny bits to it. I think that that's how it's intended. I think that there's also some weird kind of animated bits in there that felt very awkward. I'm not sure if that was just me. But it was just like, it was like, I don't know if they had a budget where they had to use it on that, or if they thought, oh, that's quirky and different.
When we forgot really to film this scene.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, it really, it felt just weird. So like when they went on a road trip, it would just be a stop motion car with some puppets in it, you know, and there'd be some comedy in there. But again, it just didn't work. It was quite atrocious there. There were, like I said, some funny bits to it, which kind of, you know, did make me laugh. And it had some really good names in it, so I was kind of expecting something. But then we had just the normal Michael Cera kind of bumbling idiot. You've seen Superbad. You've seen a better film than this, really. Which is a shame.
Wow. So it doesn't work, and it's not funny.
There are funny bits, but I think collectively it's not funny, really.
Right.
Which is a shame.
I agree.
Because you look at it, you've got... Justin Long, as you were saying, you've got Ray Liotta, you got some fantastic actors who do funny stuff, and they've all been in funny films, and so you know they can achieve it given the right script, setting, director, filming, whatever it is. These actors.
Fred Willard was in it too. I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. He was fantastic, actually. but it just let itself down. It was the thing is, it just felt very samey. I don't know. You've seen the trailer, you've seen the film as well.
Yeah, and so. Didn't you feel... I felt bad. Like, I felt concerned. I didn't, like, laugh at him. I felt concerned at the end of it that this poor guy now has multiple personalities that is not a good... I mean, it's not good.
Well, the thing I didn't like about it is that at the end, they try to force this whole, oh, she loves me, not Francois, after all. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure she liked Francois, you know. I don't know... I don't know if you're trying to say that, you know, nice guys do get the girls, but it was just a little bit kind of, I don't know, it felt cheap at the end. The good bits were kind of up front for me, like Zach Galifianakis was only in it for a little bit, and then it started going steadily kind of downhill, and it just kind of got a little bit too much into itself, really. It could have been funny, but they strung it out, and it just, you know, it just didn't work.
Wow, so I'm guessing this is a double lame?
For me, yeah.
Lame.
Wow. So we have two super lame movies. I don't know when that has happened ever.
I don't know. I think the problem is as well is I did actually write in some of the, I think I wrote in Book of Eli at least in the movie planner, so I feel partially responsible for that. So I put myself.
No, I think I did. No, I did because
did you do
I,
that? Did you?
'Cause I that was the one movie that was playing in France, so I added it to the list.
Oh, and he didn't manage it. Letdown. And it is it's a shame really because we've been spoilt with some fantastic movies.
We have.
And then you hit February and it goes a little bit downhill really from there, which is a shame.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so let's not, you know, dwell on this again. And move on to something else then. Youth in Revolt, lame. There you go. Let's do the what's the thing again?
Recommentals.
Recommentals. Woohoo! It's time for recommentals. Okay, never mind.
You don't have to be recommendals to recommend them, but it helps.
What?
Just add a little tagline to it.
That's awesome. Pretty good. Okay, so who wants to go first? I'm trying to wake up the people in the chat
you
room.
You can go first.
Because I want to go first because I'm continuing my streak of fantastic films. And I'm going all arty for some reason. I don't know why. But it's just I've been feeling very arty mood recently. And these are films I've been watching. And this is actually one of the most influential films I've ever seen. And it's also kind of... It's not so great in terms of a story, but in terms of just film construction and just the definition of cool, it's by a French. It's a French film, and it's by Jean-Luc Godard, and it's a Bout de Souffle, or Souffle, I can't say, but Breathless, basically, is its English title.
Oh, A Bout de Souffle,
yeah, yes. There you go, A Bout de Souffle, there you go. And literally, at breath's end. And it is just... That it's just so quintessentially cool. It was one of the first films of the French New Wave. It is basically got just it's all jump cuts, so that the film just watching it is really visually different. And you start to see how more recent directors have kind of, you know, you see where they've got some influences from films like this. And it has Belmondo. What's his Jean-Paul Belmondo.
Yeah,
who is just, he is the definition of cool in this film. If you see him, it would make anyone start smoking, really, I think. He just smokes throughout the whole film, like the French do. And he just makes it look so cool. And basically, he's this kind of gangster guy who, like, steals a car and shoots a cop. And to hide out, he's with this American journalist. And so she's kind of learning French. He kind of styles himself on Humphrey Bogart, so it's kind of like a legend on a legend. But it's just an absolute fantastic film with my favorite ending of any film ever. I love it.
Are you done?
Yeah, no, just in a nutshell.
You're boring him.
Yeah, it is. I mean, to be honest with you, some people might be bored by this film because it's not modern, it's not, you know, and it is French, so it's subtitles. But past that, it is actually really, really good. And just visually, I just can't think of anything better than it. So, yeah.
So I applaud you for being so open-minded and international, but... the French New Wave has left a very deep trauma in my, you know, filmmaking memory, or, you know, film watching memory, rather. The problem is that before the New Wave arrived, there was this style of filmmaking in France that was called les films de la qualité, which is la qualité française. It's basically French high-quality films, which was this very... rigid way of making movies with very set procedures and, you know, very artificial sets and static camera and, you know, the films from 50 years ago, basically. And this new brand of these new directors like Jean-Luc Godard and others started making films that went... that veered from that tradition. And it was sort of scandalous in a way that they would do things like that, because it's not the way you do films.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it, though, is they were game changers. Low budget.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was absolutely complete game changers. When you hear people talk about the New Wave, it was a revolution in filmmaking. But... it's still something from the 60s/70s. And when you look at it now, it does... you don't really see the groundbreaking things if you're not looking for them because you know film history. And the only thing you see is an old movie that doesn't really have anything for it, because all they've taught us is integrated in all the movies today, and we have gone even beyond that. And the movies themselves, especially those from Godard, don't make any sense. And they are... right?
Yeah, but that's part of the beauty of it, though, as well. I just think, like I said, I take it purely from a visual standpoint, in terms of it was the first of its kind. And I think if you want to learn something, don't learn it from the person who learned it. Learn it from who they learned it from. And I think,
yeah,
you know...
in that sense, yes, I agree. But I still think it's not a super good movie. But sure. As a part, you know, it's the kind of thing you don't really want to see, but you sort of have to see to have seen it.
I think when it goes to kind of new wavy type films, I think it is the best. Even in, like, other things like Dogma 95-minute films, which are atrocious. I think most films which try to go against...
oh, that's different.
...like, the way of doing things, I think this is about as mainstream and as good as it gets, really. So, yeah.
I think Truffaut or Chabrol are better directors from the... but Godard is basically
the first one, though, wasn't he? So,
well, not exactly. They all came around mostly at the same time and influenced each other and... I don't know. Anyway, so let's not get into, you know, old crappy movie history thing. But Nicole, what's your movie?
Am I still on?
Yeah, we sort of woke her up now.
So mine is a movie that I have probably had on my iPod at least a year and a half. No.
All right. I thought, what a brilliant follow-up.
Very close. It's called Brick.
Brick.
So, Brick is...
oh, I know that movie. It's about a guy who tries to jailbreak his iPhone.
No.
No, okay, never mind.
So this movie was made in 2005, and it has one of your favorite people, Patrick. Joseph Gordon Levitt.
Yeah, no, he's not one of my favorite people.
Well, you like them a lot in 500 Days of Summer. So
yes, absolutely. But yeah.
So this movie, it's basically set in high school, and it's all about his main character looking for his ex-girlfriend and trying to basically solve a crime. So
is it the sequel to 500 Days of Summer?
No, it came before 500 Days of Summer. Okay. But it is very... when I first started watching it, the language that these kids speak, at first I'm like, what? Is this how kids actually talk now? Because there's a lot of code. They talk really fast. It's really kind of weird when you first start watching it. And,
oh, wow.
And basically... exactly. Leet speak, no. But it's almost a murder mystery, because when you first start watching the movie, you see his character looking at this girl that's laying down face in like this little basin thing, and you're like, what is going on? So you're kind of unraveling this mystery, and it's kind of a bully type story, high school bully story. Really, it surprised me. I don't know why I hadn't watched it. I kind of wasn't really sure what it was going to be like, but it really is kind of a whodunit in high school kind of thing. It's weird. I can't even explain it. But it was really, really good. I think you both of you guys would probably like it. It was pretty interesting. I don't know if that's really how kids talk nowadays, but it was kind of interesting to see this kind of language and fast talking and code and.
So we might need to see it to stay current with the.
Well, it was made in 2005, so I'm sure all that goes out the door.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
But it's, drugs isn't, drugs are involved and things like that, so...
Oh, then I definitely want to see it.
And it kept me guessing all the way up until the end. So it did a really good job.
Cool. So good rental. Brick.
Yep.
The movie I would like to recommend is an excellent movie.
Yeah, I just
called
seen it. Good.
So there you go. Thank you. it's called Lord of War, and it is absolutely fantastic. It's a movie about basically an arms dealer, and it sort of shows in a movie-like way how weapon trafficking works. And I'm sure it's not absolutely accurate, and it stars Nicolas Cage and Jared Leto. It's based off the character that actually exists. He was arrested recently, a few years ago, but it's not the just see it. It's a very good movie. It's what?
Yeah, I love the beginning bit.
The intro, the credits are the life of a bullet, and it was actually done in France by a guy who one of my friends worked with at one point.
You know what movie I'm watching right now that I thought was this movie that you're talking about, War Inc. with
nothing like it.
No,
terrible.
It's not. It's
okay. Did you buy a monkey?
That's my dog. I don't know what's with the noise.
Oh, they got
today.
A toy. God. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. It's good. It makes it sound like you got a life. Meanwhile, me and Patrick, you can just hear the tumbleweed in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so you saw Lord of War, Turf Sword?
Oh, yeah,
you liked
it? Loved it. Absolutely fantastic.
I thought too. It was good. It was good.
I didn't like the bit in at the end with the the diseasey bit like that. I thought was a bit of a shame. Like, I didn't feel like, I think he should have been shot. But yeah.
What?
No, we're just chatting rubbish. Don't worry. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Good film.
Okay.
Go see it.
Anyway, good film. Lord of War. Watch it. And now, we are going to be talking about emails and iTunes, right?
The way you said that sounded like Steve Jobs, so...
And one more thing.
We've got something special to show you. Emails.
We've got... Actually, I do have something special. It's an email I got from David almost 2 weeks ago, right after we did our last show. And he says, "Hi, Patrick. Hey, I just finished watching 500 Days of Summer, and I must say, wow, that movie is fantastic. Thanks a lot for giving it such an effusive recommendation. Otherwise, I think I'd have skipped that one. I remember you saying on the show that your personal life might have might help you to appreciate it, and you are totally right. It really hits home in my case. So many parallels, even in some cases, in some smallish details, blah, blah, blah. I found myself cringing at some points because I was just reliving some of the things I went through with this woman. Just want to reach out and just wanted to reach out to the guy and say, no, mate, don't do that. It won't work." He goes on for a little bit longer and says, "Once again, you are absolutely right, and Terpster is plain wrong."
Well, I can see if he's relating like that, that's fair enough. Because I felt the same way with Terminator 2, because I was sent back from the future to protect John Connor. So that really spoke to me. That.
And he also says, "Over the last few weeks, I've retroactively listened to all episodes of Movielicious. It's that good."
Aww.
Thank you so much, David.
Thanks, David.
First of all, for giving us such a kind recommendation.
I like that.
And second of all, for showing me that I'm right. And
see, that's nice, but I'd rather he just left a 5-star review on iTunes, really. You know, that would have been nicer.
So maybe you could read us a review that you would like people to leave us.
I've got one here from the UK, if you want to. This one's Woot, and it's from Jenalison. I can't say her name or his name. "Really excellent podcast. Honest, funny reviews of movies. Terpster is pure comedy genius. Nicole has the sexiest American accent I've ever listened to. And Patrick is... Well, Patrick's French. Kidding. Patrick's awesome. My only wish is that you guys got picked up by some major television network. I just love to watch that." And, yeah.
Thank you. That is nice. That's very kind
I've never
of
had someone tell me they actually like my accent.
I love your accent.
Yeah, it's so American. Yeah, it's good.
And the reason why we're talking about these iTunes reviews is, of course, because if you go to iTunes and leave us a review, then we'll be happy.
I have a review. We have actually a couple more in the U.S. store.
So double happiness.
So this one's from Your Princess Leia. And I'm guessing it's a girl.
Mine?
Yeah. Oh. Apparently it's yours, Patrick. And she says, "Your podcast embarrasses me." She says, "I love," in capital letters, "your podcast. Terpster, Patrick, and Nicole, you guys are a... Genius combination of hilarious." Are you reading the same one?
I went on there. I just thought, this is going to be exciting.
"Combination of hilarity and professionalism. I listen to your shows in between classes, and I actually laugh out loud while listening. And I look like an idiot, but I don't care. Even though Patrick doesn't think you guys are professional enough, I think it's a perfect match. My favorite part of the show is usually the minute reviews towards the end. It's fun to see the kind of movies you each enjoy. I love Nicole's input. She's the healthy medium to Terpster and Patrick's opposing extremes. Don't change a thing. It's already gold. Smiley face." Thanks.
5 stars.
Thank
that's
you
important.
So
that's a
much.
Really nice, that's a very nice,
that is nice.
Thanks so much. First of all, thanks so much, my Princess Leia. And as Fang puts it, I will be your Jabba.
Oh, that's lovely. Like. The next one up from that, have you seen the one from Genome?
I thought you read that one last time.
Did I? About the spoilers?
Does it say something about
I did.
Terpster being awesome and you want to read it again?
No, I just liked it because it's because he basically spoofs our show. which is good. He goes, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I drive 100 miles a day to and from work and look forward to every new episode of the Movielicious. I don't want to give any spoilers out, so I'll just say I especially like the part when they talked about that guy who did that thing in that one movie. Great synergy between the hosts. I love your movies. If you love movies, you love the Movielicious. And that's what today's show's felt like, really. Because
just a little bit, yeah.
Really, I'd love to tell you the twist in Book of Eli.
Why don't we?
Like, what? But you,
let's go ahead and we'll say if you want to hear the twist, we can say we're going to talk about it. Because I think we should talk about it.
What? About
spoiler. Or wait a minute, I guess Patrick is the one who hasn't seen Book of Eli. Do you want to know the
twist? that's our problem. That's why we usually don't like talking about the twists, but today especially because there's always one of us who hasn't seen it. So
Except for you,
oh, yes. So let's not talk about the twist. And if I ever watch that crappy Book of Eli movie, sorry, Gary, then, you know, I still want to have the twist.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
We'll leave that okay. Then. Also, I'm tired and I want to go to bed. So that
are we going to be able to do our outtakes?
Outtakes? What outtakes?
Where we fake each week funny things. Okay, I've got a good one.
Yeah. That comes afterwards, though. After.
Twist.
Before that, though, please, guys, tell me where I can get more of you if I haven't had enough already, which I have, but, you know. Well, Nicole.
You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NicoleSplag. Spag. God.
Nicole
Splag. Please, someone go get Nicole Splag right now and do a fake Nicole.
I watched all the movies. I'm the best.
Or you could,
even though I was,
or you could check out my podcast.
I was completely jet lagged, and I took the plane today.
BRB, plane flying over.
Oh no. Or you can follow my video game podcast with Kim and Stephanie at lazyelite.com.
Which is awesome. But Nicole, there is one thing you need to do with this show.
What?
Please promise me you'll do it.
I will.
Okay. Well, I
you can say anything now.
Yeah, now I get I sort of
give me
I didn't expect that.
Show. Brilliant.
I respect you, Interpreter. Our baby Patrick.
Freudian.
Okay, so this is what I think you should do. Include a graphic in the MP3 file.
I tried, and I'll try to do it again.
Get if you can. Oh, you're on a Mac. Okay, because it's the only one that stands in my MP3 collection. You know, my podcast collection, and it doesn't have an illustration.
I'll fix it. Thank you.
Okay, please. Yeah. Because I it's perfect except for that
except
little
for the
thing.
Little gray little musical note thing or whatever it is.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, fantastic podcast. You should go listen to it now, or well, after Terpster has said what he wants to say now, which is
you can follow me at twitter.com/the_T. You can go to facebook.com/TerpsterVision, or you can now go to TerpsterVision.tv, where it is now actually a functioning site with videos and posts and stuff on it. It's really
good. It is awesome.
Yeah, Nicole made it. So thank you to Nicole, and thank you to everyone who's already gone. But if you haven't gone, go there already. You can also hear me on my gaming podcast. I like to move my voice up like that for some reason, called Giant Enemy Crab. So if you just iTunes, just type in Terpster, and that'll come up. And yeah, it's only had two episodes, but already in the top 10 general gaming podcast. But that's fine.
I wish you were a girl, Terpster.
Really? Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say I also wish you were a girl because, you know, with my Formspring answers, that people might start to wonder.
But put two and two together, and then they see the Compilicious poster, and they're like, what's going on?
What's happening there? It's like we're standing each one on the, you know, one end of the channel, you in England and one me in France, and we're looking into the yonder and going like,
I'm looking at the moon right now, just like I'm looking at the moon.
Oh, this has gone bad.
Okay. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at twitter.com/notpatrick. The blog for this show is themovielicious.com. It will bring you to the French Spin site where you can comment and do lots of wonderful things on the blog. And I think that's going to be it. Next time, we're going to do it on Wednesday, right?
Yeah,
changing it up.
Yeah, we're mixing it up, being all funky. And we might, if you guys are okay with it, can we do it an hour earlier also?
No.
Oh.
Maybe.
That hurt.
I'll have to check my I have to check my schedule.
Oh. I can't do it an hour earlier. But
oh, you can.
You can do logistics now if you want to on the podcast. I don't know if this is still going on.
All right. So thanks a lot for listening, everyone. And next time we'll be on February 24th. And we'll talk about Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief and Wolfman. Right?
I'm excited about Wolfman, cool. But at the same time,
me too.
I'm apprehensive.
Well, you'll know what we think then. See you in 2 weeks, guys. Bye.
You didn't say bye, Terps.
I know, but I left it too long. And I thought if I say bye now, they're just going to think, oh, what an idiot. So I just pretend like, you know, I've already gone.
Terpser, newsflash, they already think what an idiot. And by the way, John, apparently it is coming out for Valentine's Day, well. in France. So what we said in our review was not accurate.
This?
About French people being stupid. Well, I mean, French people are stupid, but not for that reason. What?
Not a prostitute, okay? Just I don't know anymore. I'm confused.
I'm confused. Like, genuinely confused. Not when I pretend to be confused.
I miss you.
Miss you too, guys. I do miss you. I was looking at the BlizzCon pictures.
Don't, because I've been having this and I want to tweet about it, but then I think everyone will think I'm just a weirdo. Because, like, Sean Coons, for some reason, like, I miss, I never chat to Sean at all.
I know.
He's such an awesome guy. And obviously you guys and then just everyone else. It gets to the point where you just...
Maybe we should have Sean on the show. That'd be fun.
Told him, but he never watches movies.
We could do one about Jesus and God.
You know what? I'll see if I'll give him access to the thing, and if he's seen one movie, he can join.